Great. Welcome to our last in this long series. Since May, we started this Tuesday Live with Linda, and it's just been a treasure to be with you. So many of you have been here almost every week since then. I want to just begin with a heart hug. And Sally, I am quite certain that Sage has already shown this to you. And you have a choice of putting one hand over the other on your in your middle of your chest on your heart chakra. Or for those of you who prefer, down below your navel and just like engage like the whole vagus system from there, whichever. I'm going to work from my heart. And I'm going to just imagine that we can send light. First of all, with each 1 1/4 spiral circle, let's send this into this precious vehicle, this vessel that contains our soul. I say the word vehicle because it's the what carries us around. And when we recognize, when we remember that we can connect with these spiral circles, we can connect with the amazing cellular wisdom, that divine spark in every cell in our body. Just send this light, like you're lighting up all parts of yourself with a smile to activate our amazing feel-good hormone, that serotonin. And just remember with a gentle movement of the skin, very gentle, we're activating the oxytocin, the trust hormone. And I'd like us to just have that feeling of trust. Trust that we send into every part of our body, that we can connect with the divine spark, with the intelligence in every single part of our body. Take a nice deep breath in through your nose and gently out through purse strips and purse lips. And I love the concept of gently blowing out through a straw, just gently. And let us send a few of these like a balloon of light to your families and your friends and to all those who've been with us over these months from many parts of the world. And with a smile, now I open my eyes and I look at you all and I see all of you who have joined us. Suzanne and Heimke and Anna, Joyce. What a wonderful Christmas present this is. So I decided this morning, as I know we've all been very busy over this, I want to start like I did last week. And I'm going to have us imagine that we go to our ancient forest, the sacred forest. We're just going to start there. So in order to do so, let's remember, and Sally, what we've been doing, we've been imagining wherever you're, just at your feet, you imagine a magic carpet. You can make it whatever size you want. And the reason I say size, because some of you will make it a little larger because you have many animals that you want to be with you. Well, either your animals who are with you still in the physical and all those who are with us in the spirit world. And imagine this beautiful magic carpet. Look at the colors. You paint your own colors, whatever you wish. It's your it's your opportunity. And what fabric, just the look of it. And settle down on it now. Imagine you're just settling down. You can take whatever you like to sit on, lie on, from a yoga stool to nothing. Some of you may just want to lie on this magical carpet, and others will take your lounge chairs or whatever is really comfortable. I want us to go now. We're just going to imagine all rising up. Nice deep breaths, and just see us all up, 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 out of the physical and traveling. We're all rising up and we're converging, just like magic that we can do with our minds. And come together, fly, look around you, just see, kind of imagine. Let's see, do you see other animals there? And some of you I know will have horses flying beside you. Or maybe they want to have their, you know, they don't want to be on that carpet with you. They have their own wings. And let us just imagine you're just going to take this together. And since there's no time, we're going to actually then just ease. Look around down below us. Imagine that we're in the air. We can see below us, and we see our clearing, our magical clearing. And we see these beautiful, beautiful ancient trees around us. And let us just gently settle down, land, and arrange your carpets around a circle. Now, I'd like you to imagine that you're standing up, first of all, and just feel the earth. Some of you may want to put your hands on the earth. I haven't done that before. And actually, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put my ear down to the earth and listen to all of the messages that are being sent through the tree network. And the wow, I can just hear these wonderful creatures that are, we don't ever think about, who are in the soil. And I want to hear above me the bees. And some of you just look around, and in the middle, Sally, of our wonderful circle here, our imaginary circle, we have a spring, and it bubbles up, and in the middle of the spring is a stone. And as I did the last week, I'm going to have this beautiful, like this quite a large stone that comes up out of the water, out of the spring. And you can hear the water like coming up and trickling down. And I want each one of you to imagine, what is that stone for you? What do you want that stone to be? This is an amazing power of our thought. And look around and let us know with a heart hug and a honoring all of the trees around us, asking permission to be here. Look around you, see the flowers. Just, yeah, bring in what bushes and flowers and what other realms do you see? Some of you have various guides. I am calling in all of our angels each one of you who have your own angels, all the animals we have who have their angels, and then these beautiful archangels who are always here with us. Just take a deep smell. What is that lovely scent? What is that? What is the wind? Can you hear the wind speaking to us, rustling through the needles and through the leaves, moving your hair? And let us, on this wonderful Tuesday, look down and imagine, what would you like to be wearing here? Just arrange it. Have fun with it. What are the colors? What fabric? I am sure there are a couple of you that probably, in this perfect temperature that we have, just want to be bare and feel a gentle wind on the hairs on your body. And now I'm going to ask you to look, just reach out and touch your animals. See who is close to you. Who might be a surprise who's there with you? Perhaps you haven't seen them for a long time. Now I'd like you to settle down, and I'm going to read just a couple of pages that I think you will really enjoy. And it's from this book, Ho'oponopono. It's the one by Ulrich Dupré. And it's the humankind, spirit of God's spirit, Arakane. And that is the Hawaiian word. We are far more than this physical body. We are also far more than our thoughts. We are not this body, but we have this body. We are also not our thoughts, but we have thoughts, and even they are frequently not our own, but rather a reflection on the headlines of a huge daily newspaper, for example. We, you and I, animals and plants, are spiritual beings. The core of our true identity is divine. It is that which does not age, but always was and ever will be. In Hebrew, this immaterial divine spark is called Odem, and in Sanskrit, Atma. The Huna, that is a Hawaiian concept, is expressed as Kane, spirit of God's spirit. Just as a drop of water from the ocean possesses all the chemical properties and elements of the ocean, so too, in our pure consciousness, we have all the qualities of God, though only in small measure. In quality, we are like God, but in quantity, we are different. Thus, you and I are not material beings who are having a spiritual experience. On the contrary, we, by our nature, are non-physical, spiritual beings. Imagine that you are stuck in a traffic jam. If you have no important and pressing goal in mind, you can contemplate the matter in a relaxed fashion. Admittedly, if you work, relationship, or even someone else's life is at stake, the matter will look quite different. For one person, a traffic jam can be a saving grace. For another, a complete catastrophe. From a Buddhist point of view, every situation, event, and object is essentially empty. Everything gains meaning by our contemplating it. Among the Huna, this translates as, the world is what we think it is. Our world is subjective. It is clear to all of us that the world is far more than we, with our limited senses, can perceive. the ranges and perceptive spectra of our eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue are limited and individually different. Simultaneously, our brain filters only that which appears important to us. And our cultural conditioning from the flood of information and mob of data reaching us. The world works on us, and we sense reality as a result. And this is the thing that I hope you will take away from this time together, is that we can connect with this 1 1/4 magical circle. We can actually connect with that divine spark within us. I had an experience 2 days ago I want to share with you. A lovely person who was in my horse training last year in Canada is ordering a Beamer for herself. And she was saying, oh, wow, I wish I had it now because my foot is hurting. I said, well, actually, you've got your hands, remember? And so I would just, what I said to her, I would like you to just, you don't even have to take your boot off. She'd already taken it off. Just reach down and with each 1 1/4 circle, realize that you are connecting with that divine spark that is at the heart of this miraculous body we are. What has made the difference to me, because I've been looking for this answer, you know, since 1976. You have heard this over and over. When I, in my Feldenkrais training, I read Sir Charles Sherrington's book, Man on His Nature. And Sir Charles Sherrington, a Nobel Prize recipient, wrote that every cell in the body knows its function within the body. As he was speaking with such passion over the miracle that when we get a cut, our body rallies to heal it. And his passion just instilled me with this wonder, as you all know, the basis about this T-Touch for you is this concept that when we see and when we recognize that every cell in the body knows its function in the body, and we recognize this miracle that we are, that the blood flows. This is what I want you to take away. I'm hoping that you will take away. That sitting here, our blood flows, we can see, we can speak, we can breathe. I mean, all these parts of us that are work miraculously, how come? And thanks now to science, spiritually it's been known forever, but the science now shows that this communication between the cells is amazing. And this concept that every cell has, well, Dr. Fritz Albert Popp says 200,000 known functions. What do we think is behind that? And all we recognize that with this 1 1/4 spiral circle, we are connecting to that cellular wisdom. And when we just see and remember, wow, remember our potential for ideal function, if we can't quite left brain get it yet, but remember this phenomenal, perfect functioning in every cell in the body. And the 1 1/4 circles, that is our connector to that divine spark that is mentioned in Ho'oponopono. And what happened, this person who came to my horse clinic, she's just a wonderful person. She had reached down and she had done perhaps 30 seconds of the lightest raccoon touches with the tips of her fingers. And she sat up and she said, the pain's gone. And when she said that, that's when I said to her, well, what do you think runs this body? It is this divine spark. And she was so deeply touched by this, because to think that we are reflections of source, of the sort of the universal knowing, the what depends what culture you're in, what you call this divine spirit, but this source energy in the whole universe. And that is what we're doing. This is what we are connecting with, these simple 1 1/4 circles. So Donna, I see you're here with your wonderful dog. And I would just like us now, we're still here. I left you in the forest, even though I'm looking at you. And what I'd like to do before we address some specific things from this forest now, I would like us to just go sit on our carpet here and hold up a mirror. And this mirror is a wonderful mirror that can show you the light in your body. Just hold it up and look at all the parts that you really appreciate about yourself. Just smile at this. Smile at the wonder that we can do this, that we can imagine, that we can do anything we want with our mind. And now look around and just see, are there areas where perhaps you've had pain or old scars or some part that's not working so well? Nah, the light is not the same as in the other parts that you love. And all you have to do is remember, we are connecting with that cellular wisdom, that creative potential. And we simply say to ourselves, wait a minute, I need more light there. Bring light, connect with these other cells that have the light. Just bring the light in here. And it's not bringing it in. I mean, activate the light within. Call on the cells around it. Call on the cells that are working well. And just change this light. And I'd like you to bring color into it now, as we've done many times. Bring the colors that you would love to have in those cells, in those this body. And just take that mirror around. And know that you can do this anytime. You can call us all in back into the forest and we can come here with you. And when you're feeling pain, reach down and make the 1 1/4 circle. And know that you're bringing the light in. You're increasing the light in the cells and the color. Really work the colors now. And take that mirror, turn it so that all parts are reflecting back to you this divine spark light within you, activating that miracle that you are. Remember your smile to activate the serotonin and the wow factor that we can do this, the wonder of it. And feel what that does to the frequency of your vibrational rate when you take in that wow factor. Wow, holy mackerel, hey, I am a miracle. And now, just share this with someone close to you, someone who needs you. Can be an animal or a person. And just invite them in with you on your carpet. Of course, you have to ask permission of their higher selves first. And just bring them here. And put a mirror in their hand, and you have your mirror in yours, and show them how they can see that divine spark in every cell. You know, just Lipton writes 100 trillion cells, all working in harmony. Recognize the miracle that is. And sit back and just feel the breath of the earth. Again, feel yourself in this sacred, wonderful clearing among the trees. And smile at the wonder of our being together in this way from around the world. And celebrate those you brought in with you. And you can just hold your magic mirror up and release it back into the quantum field. Or some of you may decide to take it with you on your carpet, back with you, so you have it a little handy. And you don't have to worry about losing it, because you can just snap your fingers and it'll be right there for you whenever you need it. And feel that vibration, feel that joy, feel the frequency as we bring this light, the awareness of this light, we activate it in our body. And this is the age of Aquarius. It's the age of light, celebrating the light, choosing to have use positive words. Every time we get a negative thought about ourselves or something else, you have the ability to say thank you, release it, transmute it into light, and find a positive. In this way, we encourage this light in our body, we raise our vibrational rates, and we put this out into the world, contributing to this age of Aquarius, the light, time for the light. So let us know just look around, give thanks to all these beings who've been with us. Imagine rising up, coming back, from that forest to that place, the carpet at your feet. Slip back and feel yourself in your body. Now, do a few T-touches, just 1 1/4 circles very gently around your mouth. This mouth T-touch, just to, acknowledge the emotions. Connect with the wonderful. Feeling of this important part of our bodies, our mouths. Without it, unless we're in a hospital, we can't live. Let's just celebrate these lips. Do very gentle touches all around your lips. And with each 1 1/4 circle, let's release any fears that we're carrying with us. And transmute them into light. And give thanks. And in our words of our four simple phrases of Ho'oponopono, the book from which I was reading, I'm sorry for whatever emotions I'm carrying around this note. Please forgive me. Thank you that it's forgiven. And I love you. I love you. I love you, this amazing vehicle, vessel for my divine self. And with this, take a nice deep breath and open your eyes and let's just look around. Look around at all of us here. And I would invite you, if you would just give us some gift that you're taking away from that time together in the forest. Because when we verbalize it, when we speak it, we own it in a different way. And I know that some of you know, just like to just be there with us. That's great, because we can feel that. And some of you, I'd love to have you share a little. And the simple thing is, if you just raise your hand so I can see you. Kirsten and Marianne, if you can help there.
And Linda Claire has her hand up as well, but I'm willing to share as well. So if you want to have Linda go first and then.
Okay, Linda.
And you're muted, Linda.
Yeah, you have to unmute.
Okay. Just reminded me again that I am energy. My whole body is just expanding and contracting, just vibrating very, very, very strongly. And I know that's the case, but we get locked into the physical thing and we forget about it. So thank you for reminding me.
Thank you, Linda Claire. Marianne.
Well, it was interesting at the point where you said, reach out and touch one of your animals or pull one of your animals in. My live puppy here was bugging me, and I have basically, Rudy is now 18, almost 19 year old puggle. And each breath he takes, I believe it's a blessing at this point. And it's like, he kept bugging, you know, like nudging my foot. He's blind, he's deaf, he's, you know, and so I was able to put him up on my desk with me, and he just sat there with me, and he hasn't done that. You know, normally he'll lay by my feet, but it was like he was, after you said, put your hand up for the animal, he just started, you know, nudging me. Now I've got like five animals around me, and he's the one that's like, I want to be in here and doing it. And so it's just also, you know, you talked about in the Ho'opono part about spirit versus this physical essence. And it's kind of, I felt like he was reminding me that it's not about this physical body. And I know that with my pets, and I have people tell me all the time that see stuff that my, you know, got a herd hanging out with me. But it's still hard when you're ready, you know. I know he's going in the next few days, and it's just like his kind reminder that I've been here. And it's the animal that we've had in our house the longest, because we always rescue. We never rescue little babies. We always rescue older dogs. So he's been with us since 6 months old. So it was just wild how he had to get in on the action.
Beautiful, Marianne. And this is so perfect from both of you, Linda Claire and Marianne, because it's really a message for Donna. And because she wrote me a letter earlier this morning saying that her dog, who's never had a problem before, I think it was weeks ago, started having a grand mal seizure on a walk. And he's had many seizures. The vets can't find anything wrong. And she's really worried and wrote to say, you know, what can she do? And what this is so, Donna, important, or valuable, I should say, what Marianne just said, recognizing that we are energy, we are spirit, so that when a dog chooses to go, they're not gone. They don't have to be gone. I want you to look just behind me. I have to get back up to where I am. Okay. Now, can you see, but by my right shoulder, that's Rainey. She crossed the Rainbow Bridge 6 years ago, and we always put her, this is my Christmas wall instead of a Christmas tree. And it's so hard, as you said, Marianne, you're absolutely, you're prepared for it because you've done this many times. But the fact is, it's not that it's easy, but when we recognize that when they do pass, instead of living in the fear that they're gone, bring them into our hearts. And this is where the heart hug and putting us in heart coherence. And Donna, it's especially, and you've been doing these heart hugs, the idea of really recognizing that if your dog does choose to go at this point, that it's not the end. And instead, because that fear that you carry is, it's really hard. And this is our opportunity. I am totally convinced that our animals are here to teach us about this crossing the Rainbow Bridge. You know, we have this amazing, wonderful Hawaiian teacher. She's Auntie Mahialani Henry. And she said, there's one absolute law on this planet. We don't get off alive. And the majority of people seem to think that we'll be here forever. And when we choose to realize the Hawaiian concept is, you know what? We change addresses. And there's so many wonderful stories about animals being heard, seen after they were gone from the physical and be back there. It's just really, I think our animals have so many ways of gifting us with this preparation to learn how to, we open our hearts to them in this special way that we rarely do to other human beings. And we can keep them. We can just make our hearts bigger when they do pass. Maureen, you have your hand up. And then if you could, Donna, speak, this would be really great.
I just wanted to share, being an animal communicator for over 20 years, that one of the saddest things the animals feel is that we don't consider them alive when they pass over. Because they see they do not describe their death as an end. They don't see it as an end, just a change in spirit and then to another animal. And their soul, whenever you think of them, you're communicating with them. And so you can just do a heart hug after your animal's died and just say, I want to connect with Spencer or Albert or whoever, and just talk to them and tell them everything you want to talk. Ask them for help with getting along with your boss at work. Ask them for help with working on your knee. They absolutely, like, they're an angel. They're always, you know, with you when you think about them. And people do not think about them because they're not alive. And they say, why don't they talk to us? Why don't they communicate with us? Why don't they know I'm in the room right now? So they never die. And in essence, you know, they talk to grandma when she dies and somebody says, well, are they connected to grandma now? They've never not been connected to grandma. You know, they feel her and her spirit all the time. So I just want to share that because so many people stop communicating with their animals. Like one time, I kept thinking, I didn't communicate with, but I had a problem. I kept thinking about this Siamese cat. And one day I get a present from a friend who sends me a present like once every 3 years of this stupid Siamese cat with a boingy head inside a plastic package. You know, and I go, this is going to go to Goodwill. You know, and I put it up on the shelf. And then all of a sudden, a week later, I go, Jazz, you want to talk to me? Yes! Like he had the whole answer to these problems that I had for 2 months. And I called my girlfriend. I said, you know that cat you sent me? And she goes, I'm sorry. I could not send it to you. I just kept saying it wanted to come. And I thought it was so stupid. I said, it was my cat. He was guiding you. He had something to tell me. So, I mean, they really are in our lives when we don't realize it, even after they've died. They have that bond with whoever they live with. And they're so deeply connected. They have that soul connection. So when your animals die, they just change form. They're not gone from your life. So I try to emphasize that with all my clients, you know, that please still communicate with them if you have this wonderful relationship, because they want to help you. They want to help you solve problems. Ask them for help.
Great. Tell them what Thank you're you feeling. Thank you so much, Martine. I mean, this is really important to hear at this point. And one of the things that I've done for years, and it's been really helpful to people, is that when they pass, write a letter and write everything you want to tell, everything you want to tell them, all the wonderful things that they have meant to you and the times of it. And then ask them if they could write to you, if your animal could write to you, what would he or she say? And just keep writing. And we've had amazing responses from that, from people who have never, ever thought to do this, never did it before. And I just really encourage you to do this, because Martine, that was really, it was, I think, perfect timing. And of course, for me, it's, you know, I when I was setting this table, my table behind me is set, I think most of you know this already, with dishes from my parents and Roland's parents and his grandmother. And we only had room for a small plate that my mother and I bought together a set when she was here for Christmas 1 year. And I clearly heard my mother say, dear, we don't eat much, use the small plates. And just hold them, all your loved ones, in your hearts. I would really appreciate it, instead of writing in the chat, if we could have this discussion, because it's important and not everybody reads the chat, and it's just a really, it's a valuable, obviously.
And Lois has her hand up.
Thank you. I can even find the unmute button today. Aha, I'm here. I just had to share with everybody that often when we go in the forest and we invite the animal, and from the very first day I did that, we had a family dog. She was a black Chesapeake. Her name was Mrs. Clancy. And she had a personality that was just, you know, stubborn as the day is long. She's a stubborn and she won't give up. And I feel this little presence and it's her, and she's going to get right in there, right close to me on that carpet. She's just going to be right there. I can't miss her. When she wants in, you cannot ignore her. This was the dog that they're retrievers, water dog. And she'd want you to throw the stick for her. Okay. So we'd throw the stick. Everybody would get tired of throwing the stick for this dog. She would put the stick down on the dock, nudge it into the water, watch it float out until it got there. Then she'd go. This dog knows how to get what she wants. And so many times it's been that dog, and I can't miss her. This is Mrs. Clancy, and she wants to be there with me and be there. She's still, you're right there. She's bright. She is a force to be reckoned with. The black Chesapeake dog.
How beautiful. Thank you so much. Great. Do we have another one who'd like to share your experience or what this brings up for you?
I'll do it. Share screen.
Hi, Alice.
Can I share something?
Please.
The people who were with me in the forest on the rock were my two daughters.
Say that again. I didn't get the last piece on the rock. I just couldn't hear the last
piece. My two daughters. They were not dogs or cats or animals. They were
your daughters.
Humans.
Great.
Two humans. And I'm pretty old myself. And I don't know how many of you have children, but it's not easy to be a good parent and be not be in sync with the culture in which you're raised.
Yes.
And one of my daughters responded, well, what I really wanted to do on the rock is really connect with them and listen to them and listen to what was really hard for them to have me as a mom. Because I'm living with, for the week, one of my daughters and her two kids, one of whom has that problem that I spoke about. So I'm right. hoping that somehow they will feel that it's okay for them to tell me whatever things they need to say so that our communication is really good. Good, but it could be a lot better. And in my work, I learn about all the unresolved things. So I'm hoping somehow with the help of the rock and you guys that I will have even better communication with both of those kids before I die.
And Alice, may I suggest that you sit down and write a letter to them?
I already did that. I wrote
great.
I'm writing more letters. As I'm watching you, I've written letters to one of my children. One of my children responded by getting angry about the things that she didn't like. The other one stuffed her anger. So one is very conservative and one is very radical. And I'm going to write to them about those two reactions and ask them to tell me what that was like. So that's what I was doing on the rock.
Beautiful. And the thing is that I find so few people have a chance at the deathbed, and it's not the deathbed, at the bon voyage bed, if you see it from that point of view, you know, or before, to talk about these things. I was really fortunate with my parents because they, you know, they were really looking forward to the next life and the next adventure and know that we will be together again. And this basic Course in Miracles concept that aggression comes from a place of fear and is a cry for help. Well, we don't know if it's a conscious cry for help, but comes from level of fear. So interesting, isn't it, this concept? And if we can, thank you for sharing that, and we can support you in, I mean, it's an interesting situation that many people are in, I hear, right within their own families, where they have one is conservative, the other has a whole different point of view. How do we continue to open our hearts and love them and love? And, you know, it's by seeing the divine spark and everyone beyond all of that. And wow.
One of the kids doesn't wear a mask and thinks this is a conspiracy. The other one is more strict about COVID. You know, I'm living with the strict one and I hardly know what's okay to do.
Yep. We're in a very hard time. So I'm glad we went in the forest. Call us in when you need support around you and just hold this. Wow. I mean, I know quite a few situations are in the same that you are. Some believe this whole conspiracy thing. I think what I keep doing with it, because I've had the question, man, can I continue to be friends with those people who believe that? And, you know, the fact is, I can love them from the point of view of the seeing the divine spark in. And what one of my friends said to me when we were having this discussion last week is, well, it's really not their fault, those who have different views. They've heard it. They've, like the book said, you know, they've read it in the newspaper. They've read it. It's out there. So how can we choose love? And I want to bring you all back to this, something I shared with you, I don't know, sometime in the past month, where I did an experience with Chris Griscom at the Light Institute, right there close to you, Alice. And in it, I saw in my own body all that every cell in my body, as in all of us, holds every negative emotion that has ever been felt on this planet as we know it in man. It's all of those. So we have a choice. We have a choice. And I believe that's what the Age of Aquarius is about, that we are in this choice. And you've heard me say it over and over in my poems, you know, talking about heaven on earth, the basic message from the fig tree, that in order to bring balance onto this planet, and I would say bring the light in, it's necessary to recognize the kingdoms of the plants, the animals, the minerals, and the nature spirits as one with us. Recognizing the God within is only the start. That the kingdoms, this is from the tree, are recognized as one with you is the key, not only to survival, but to heaven on earth. And that heaven on earth is when we recognize that we are one with divine spirit and all that is, all of nature. And that's why I feel it's so important for us to go into the forest and connect in this way. So I see we have participants. Alice,
Linda.
Thank you. Sorry?
We have two raised hands from Morjean and Teresa.
Okay, since we've heard already from Morjean, let's give Teresa a chance and then we'll come back. And I want to really give people a chance to reach out. And I need Donna, please, after this. Teresa, hi.
Thank you very much. And hi to everybody. I had a huge carpet this time to go to the forest. The forest became a planet. And I had everybody came to my carpet and say, come and come. And everybody was here. I can't even name all of them. And then I saw the stone and the water. And my inspiration was, I put in my finger on the stone and the water was the connection of all of them. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you too.
Donna, are you okay even if you cry? It's fine. If you could share this experience, and I hope that you can have, I know your dog's name starts with B, something like Boris, I think.
It's Basil. Can you hear me?
Basil, yes.
Yes. I'm just, I think, in a state of shock because, like I said, she'd never been sick. She was a service dog and then a therapy dog with over 400 visits. She's helped so many people. And for us to just be on a walk one day, and she just collapsed into a grandma seizure. And that's been 11 days ago, and she's had 7 more. And they did CT scans. They've done everything, and they can't find anything. So I just been doing T touches on her, and every time she has a seizure, I do the T touches. And I didn't know if I was doing the right ones or if there's something else I could be doing. They're hard to be around to see what she goes through. But I don't think she's ready to go, and I'm trying everything to keep her here.
So what I recommend is that between the seizures, that's when you want to be doing these very gentle, put your hands on, do 1 1/4 circles and a little lift. And as I suggested, did you see my email?
Yes, I did.
Yes, and go along the spine. I'm going to show you this because, first of all, during the seizures, hold both shoulders and just give containment. And I would see how He is wearing a wrap, a simple
wrap. I have put that on her. I do put that on her when she's calm, and it does seem to help because this also has caused weakness in her hind legs. I do the rubs and the Pythone lifts and everything on her hind legs. She gets to sometimes where she doesn't want to be bothered. And right now they've got her on a heavily sedated medication. She's been sleeping all day today just because they can't keep the seizures under control. So we're trying all kind of medicines, and now she's on insulin because they also found out she was hyperglycemic, which she has never been before. And I get her blood work done twice a year or more. She's always, you know, getting checked and keep it healthy and healthy food. So this is just out of nowhere. And I think that's why I'm still in a state of shock. And I'm afraid to leave her for a second because I never know when a seizure is going to happen.
Yeah. So one of the things that you heard already is, first of all, Sage, could you just come on and talk to Donna a minute? Because I want you to hear her voice, Donna, and that we're all here supporting you. That's number one. And then I'm going to make some suggestions of some specific things to do with her.
Thank you.
Sure, Donna, this is Sage. And what I just wrote in the chat is that when an animal has seizures, one of the things that can cause the seizures is the adrenal system getting taxed, which then can tax the liver. And when the adrenals aren't functioning well, the back end drops in the animal, and then the liver isn't working well, and it can cause blood that's not detoxified to go into the system, which can cause seizures. So if you can back it up and support the adrenals, I know Standard Process makes an adrenal support for dogs and cats and horses. And you can also buy kidney beans in a can, just organic kidney beans, or you can make them and just smush them up, give her a few kidney beans in her food that can support the adrenal system, but also some dandelion or milk thistle tea that you buy at the store. That's the quickest, simplest, cheapest thing to do. And that will help detoxify the liver, because if she's on any medications, that's going to tax the liver. And what we want is for the liver to be functioning well, so that the blood is detoxified and doesn't move into headaches, seizures, things like that.
Okay, thank you. I think I do have some milk thistle here, so I can even try that today. We're kind of in the middle of 8 inches of snow right now, so I'm not going to be going too many places unless it's the emergency room again. But I will certainly try this. They've done all kind of blood work and x-rays on everything, CT scans, and it all comes back negative, other than she came back as hyperglycemic.
Okay.
And the other thing
I'm going to mention just quickly is to make sure all of your gas appliances have been checked well. I had an issue many years ago with carbon monoxide in my Midwest home that was undetected, and it affected my dog faster than it affected me. So if you're in a climate that you have a heater on and you have any gas appliances, they'll come out, the gas company will come out for free and check your furnace. They need to check the burners. And they actually use a mirror to check behind. Anyway, a really complete check on the furnace as well as any other gas appliances. And I'll stick my contact info in the chat. I know you and I have connected in the past in some level, so I'm happy to help you if I can. But gas appliances, because that also, your dog may be affected by the air quality in the house. I mean, it could be. So.
Okay, I appreciate it. Yes, we have connected. I remember when your dog went through that. I was talking with you then. So I do remember when your dog went through all that years ago. So.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, we can do all the checks we want, and I find that the medical system, it just can't get to some of this stuff. I mean, it's really interesting. how we have to be detectives and find these things out for ourselves. So I'm going to take a break because it's 10 after, or 3 minutes after 10. Oh, well, 10 my time. 3 minutes after the hour, wherever you are. We'll take a 10-minute break. And when we come back, I would like to, I want to share a little bit more tea touch. And of course, hear from some of you in terms of if there's anything else to share from the forest, or then I would like to hear how some of you are doing with tea touch over this time. 10 minutes, Kirsten.
Thank you.
We'll come back. It's